Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
More dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Hello, everybody. It's good to be back in the saddle. Sprague's out for a while now. He's down in San Diego. He went to the Padre game last
night. I'm so glad. He sent us pictures from his seats.
He did. Had good seats down there.
He had a great game. Their party atmosphere, Padres put it on the Brewers.
I still have not been to Petco Park.
I have not either.
Yeah, it's on my...
I've been down there. I've walked around it.
Sure.
In the wintertime.
I've never been to San Diego before. I mean, yeah. Can't go wrong.
I know. It's just amazing.
It's San Diego. It's San Diego.
It's my favorite tip. There's a second San Diego team coming into the West Coast Conference. I'm like, listen, you may not want to travel me all. Can I get on the San Diego trip?
I don't need to go to certain places, but San Diego... Would be a desirable location to go.
Provo's gone now.
You don't have to worry about
that. I don't need
anymore.
To go to Stockton.
Nope. We're good on Stockton.
But I think I need to come on that San Diego trip.
It's a pivotal weekend for the basketball team. I need to be here, and I might bring my clubs with me. A couple of bits of housekeeping before we jump into the cafe. It's not too full of a cafe today. Couple of things quickly. This one got brought up. Where did it go? We were talking about the idea of those non-conference games in college football.
Yes.
The Portland State game on a Friday night. And this is the point, and this is why I think, unfortunately, it's not the right word. That's not the message I'm trying to send. You will always pack the house because there's people like this, and I totally get it, dude. Somebody texted in, for the Portland State game, for me to take my son and two of his friends sitting in section 18 about halfway up. So low-down section, right, halfway, like that's... Good seats for a college football game.
Yeah.
For all, so it sounds like what? Son, two friends, and him. It's four tickets, $110 for four tickets. He said one ticket for the same section for the Michigan game, one ticket is $350. These cupcake games, even though they suck, are the games that families who are priced out get to take their kids to and experience Autzen Stadium. And
is that the season ticket is.
He's probably just buying on a secondary market. I don't know if it's a season ticket or an individual game ticket that somebody is selling. But this is the point. That's why a lot of people go down to the spring game now, man. The spring game's become a thing down there because it's a way to just go watch football and you take a can of food and you go in. And it's incredibly expensive to go to a game now. Where if you want to take your family and you want, you know, you got your wife with you and you got two kids, like
if they're doing that,
that's a $2,000 day.
If the schools are doing that and they are recognizing, look, I understand for Michigan, that's a premium. Ohio State comes, that's a premium.
Sure.
Whatever. But as long as they're then recognizing, okay, it's Portland State, let's, you know.
We're not going to price gouge you here.
We're not going to price gouge you on the season ticket holders. Right. The secondary market is secondary market, and market forces will determine what the value of that ticket is. But
yes.
If you are having to shell out, you know, whatever the donor piece is on top of the actual ticket values, and they're trying to,
I mean, if you're a season ticket holder, it's just a part of your package, right? Like, they're not going to lower the season ticket price, so you get the tickets for that game. I do think it becomes one quickly that season ticket holders, I would imagine, resell. Not that you could get great value for it. It just is that if you're spending that much on season tickets, is a Friday night game against Portland State the biggest priority for you? Probably not, right? Because money is not necessarily as much of an object for you.
The biggest determining factor is always the students, I think. Now, are they back on campus that
weekend? No, it'll be the third week of the season. So, I mean, kids are tricky. I always went down when I was a student at Oregon. I would always go down to the first couple of games and party my ass off for 2 days and then come home, even though school wasn't in session yet.
Did they do rush before the school year started?
I have no idea. I did not I was not in a fraternity. I'm assuming that they did, but I don't know the answer to that. But it just, it kind of revisits the point of that's why those games will always have value for people. And I'm glad that there isn't, that is the one thing about those games that I do like. Outside of me being the sicko I am and getting a chance to watch guys who don't normally play, like Dylan Raiola might play the entire second half of that game.
Brock Thomas should get a quarter.
Right, like these guys, you're going to see all the freshmen because it's now a 5-by-5 rule. Yeah. They would have already played in that game anyways, but now there's not a redshirt thing. And so you're just like, you're going to get to see kind of the next generation of Oregon football players and what next year's team will look like. And that's interesting to me as a fan. But there's an avenue there if you want to go down and go to an affordable game. That's the one that's on your schedule. One other quick thing, and I do wonder, we can enter this. We can start with this in the cafe, actually. Your breakfast menu today, because I'm running late. It's the day, first day back after vacation. We're pulling cold pizza out of the fridge, okay? We're going cold slices of pepperoni pizza. And do not look at me as if you would not be intrigued by a piece of cold pizza right now. Because if I put one in front of you, would you eat it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh,
I would too.
And we found, because you know over the years, the wife does not eat the pig.
No, no pig.
We found a pizza place on the west side that had beef pepperoni.
Oh, what?
Cannot tell you how happy
that made.
Does
it get the job done?
It was, yes.
So it's everything, it's still good, pepperoni pizza, beef pepperoni pizza?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we had other stuff on it,
sure,
but
that's not the only topping. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a, I got a buddy who I call Scoops. He gives me little NBA tips from time to time.
Oh, nice. Ones you take to the betting window?
Not necessarily betting window, but like knows people who know people who are like, I'm gotcha. This is in the winds. You know, I don't ever say it on the air because, you know, but we call him Scoops in the group chat. And he became,
we know where to look.
He became the Scoops of local pizza joints a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And gave me, and I'm not going to say anything because I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but he gave me an update on a local pizza place and a pizza that will be coming out this fall that I'm just going to tell you. It might blow your mind, and I can't wait for it. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I can say right now.
It's like a specialty pizza.
It's a specialty pizza, seasonal only.
Gone into the pizza lab.
He's now scooping on pizza tips. And
all of the available toppings you could ever imagine.
It's the most delicious-sounding pizza I've ever heard.
And we're mixing and matching, and we're like, oh, we found it.
When you hear it, you'll know it.
The drop the mic pizza.
That's all I'm going to say. When you hear it, you'll know it. So cold pizza today. I would kill somebody for a cold slice of pepperoni pizza right now from Papa Murphy's, straight out of the refrigerator. The first one up though, we'll start with this. I got a couple of bits of audio we'll get to. Somebody asking the question on the fan text line 503-864-6326, which, by the way, get your mail sack questions in. We're doing that in about an hour and 20 minutes or so. Asking, do we even still care about the NBA on Christmas if there is only one TV at the given family event, the NFL? Is the master. And that is the funny thing. Like, the Christmas schedule came out yesterday, and I did have the brief thought of, oh, look at that, NBA Christmas. That's always a notable thing in the NBA. Who's playing on Christmas Day? It's one of their biggest days of the entire regular season. And then I read the text, and I think to myself, that's 100% spot on. Like, there might get me in pockets. Like, Spurs and Knicks out of the gate at Madison Square Garden Because that one usually starts, what, like 9?
It's 9 a.m. It's noon.
9 a.m.
So 9 a.m. So you will have done the initial wave of wake up at the crack of dawn, Teddy ball game goes, tackles the Christmas tree. So the place is strewn with boxes and wrappers and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. Now, so that one will get me. That one right out of the gate will get me. After that, let me ask the question. If you only have one TV, we all know what's winning here. Now, these might not end up being as good as they appear right now because the NFL is wonky and things happen and injuries take place and backup quarterbacks could be playing for all we know. Do you remember the Christmas Day schedule for the NFL this year?
I know the Seahawks have the late game.
The Seahawks play at home in the late game.
And it's the Eagles, if memory serves.
It is not the Eagles.
Oh.
It is the Rams.
Oh, it's the Rams.
They play the Rams Christmas night at 5:15.
There we go. Like, I'm dialed in.
The afternoon game at 1:30 on Netflix.
Broncos?
Broncos hosting the Buffalo Bills. And your opener on Netflix at 10 a.m. after I watch 1 hour of Spurs and Knicks is Green Bay at Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even... It's going to blow it out of the water.
Yeah, the NFL came off
my
the
eyeballs
top
aren't
with that.
Going anywhere near the NBA. It's not going to happen.
I will stick with Knicks Spurs as long as it's close and compelling.
Okay. All right. Different strokes, different folks, whatever you want to do. If you want to be an NBA guy on Christmas Day, that's totally fine. But I think the point being, like, usually at Christmas Day gatherings, you're not actively, like, just sitting down watching sports, right? Like, it's Christmas. If you have kids, it's not.
Yeah,
it's a passive
it's not
viewing
Thanksgiving,
day.
Where Thanksgiving is about a meal and football.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it.
And on Christmas, you're usually having a game on in the background.
Who knows how many stops you have to make?
Sure. The game that's on in the background are those three NFL games are fantastic.
Probably.
Now, again, like Jordan Love's hurt and whoever the backup is for Green Bay. Josh Allen tears his ACL, knock on wood. Please don't happen. I'm not asking for it. But you get my point. That's where maybe it changes a little bit. Yeah. But right now, man, that's a
before you get started.
100% fair argument. Yeah.
Order up.
What do we got?
Brandman came in and alerted me.
Oh.
This from Ramona Shelburne.
Oh, what happened?
The Los Angeles Lakers are being sold to American businessmen Josh Kushner and Bob Iger for a record-breaking $12 billion.
Didn't the Lakers just sell?
Yes, for $10 billion to the guys that owned the Dodgers, I thought.
Wait, so they bought it for $10 billion and just sold it for $12
billion? Yes.
What? Which Josh Kushner is that? Is that the brother Kushner or the dad Kushner?
I think... I don't know.
And Bob Iger was the old head of Disney, right?
Yeah, he was the old Disney guy.
Jeez.
Is Josh Kushner the one that was trying to buy the World Cup?
Yes, I believe you are correct. Did that bid not go the way he wanted it to
no,
go?
No, that backfired like nobody's business, and now...
As it should.
His ability to remain
Lakers,
president of everybody is in question.
Good. How about
Europe told him
let's
to
go.
Pound
let's
sand.
Go. Ole, ole, ole.
And
ole.
That got CONCACAF and
now we're talking.
South America to jump on board and said, no, you're not selling off the World Cup.
Did I read correctly or did I get butt cracked that the lead Dodger guy was under investigation for some fishy financial stuff?
You did not get butt cracked.
That is an actual story?
There's
okay.
something going on. I don't know how much credence there is to it.
Are they going to strip your World Series trophies because of that? I think
no.
we probably should. Take them away. You guys cheated. We all know Shohei gambled.
Just as long as they'll give us the Astros one when they cheated. Should be four in there.
That's a fair counterpunch. Actually, you know, here's what we're going to do. That's fascinating news. Why would you? That's interesting. You just bought the team. That just happened like a year and a half ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
The Lakers just sold.
Yeah.
The Buss family just sold.
Yeah, the Buss family had to.
The Dodger
they
family.
Afford it, and so they
he
sold
He flipped
it
in a year for $2 billion more dollars?
Yeah. So
anybody would give me a $10 billion
theory, Portland City Council, somebody's doing some math. Well, if you just made 20%.
Right.
In a year and a half,
that's
you've
wild.
Had it for 6 months, so
that's
yeah.
Wild.
So your valuation has already gone up, so you can kick in a couple more million in red.
Would you rather have a Kushner or Tom Dundon? Let's start the cafe here. I got some audio we'll get to.
Well, Kushners will put money into it. It might not be their own money, but
are we sure about that? Are we sure about that? You spent $12 billion on something. You sure about that? Can you go on your Dodger rant, please? Because I want people to make fun of you as much as I make fun of you. I show up after I'm just coming in, peaceful first day back. Welcome back from vacation.
So Monday.
And I am met with a 3-minute Dodger rant, and I'm
Monday.
Just looking at you like you're crazy. And I'd like you to do this on the air so the listeners
can
do the same.
On the show before and Sprague chastised me.
Rightfully so.
I said I finally hit the panic button. They'd lost 8 out of 9. They got like the fourth worst record since the All-Star break.
Oh my God.
The bullpen
How will they survive?
Not, you know, they couldn't hit. Finally, Mookie hit a home run for the first time in like 2 months last night. But they're blowing the bullpen. You know, it's great. I love Snell.
Yeah.
Snell last night eased the panic quite a bit.
We're backing off of the panic.
10 Ks. The mid-August panic. Okay. So Glasnow needs to come back and look like that.
God.
But for a franchise that spends $500 million on their roster,
yeah,
they can't find three dudes to get nine outs at the end of a game. My God.
How did they win the 72 games that they've won?
Well, they mashed, and then when the bats went quiet.
Let me ask you a quick follow-up. How was the bullpen last year in the regular season?
Well, that's because they moved Sasaki out of the starting rotation back there, which is what they're going to do in the playoffs.
The bullpen is a thing that you complain about every year?
Yes.
Every year?
Have you seen Diaz?
Every year.
When he got hurt, he had loose bodies in his elbow, and he comes back, and he blows two saves in his first appearances.
I want people to be able to make fun of you the
way
that
I make fun of you. My boy, former Hop Waldschmidt, got him. I was announcing his damn name at the Hops last year, and he beats him. Sorry.
Everybody file this away mentally for... Ooh.
They're going to have to play a wild card series if the playoffs started right now.
Do the playoffs start right now?
No.
What's their lead in the division?
It's down to like 7.
It's 8.5. They're 8.5 up in the division. You've been one of the worst teams in baseball since
like
the All-Star break. You have
lead.
an 8.5 game lead in the division. Mark my words right now, the Dodgers will win the NL West.
You know why?
And they will be in the World Series. And I'm going to point at you and
laugh.
We
don't rest on our laurels.
Oh, God.
If you don't start worrying a bit about this crap now.
You are the worst. Go watch a T2 game, all right? Get out of here, Swigart. Everybody send your hate mail to Swag. He deserves it after that rant. Let's get to, how about a local guy doing something?
Yeah, pitch to Rutschman. Slap that one to the right side. Lunging for that Clement. He'll throw. Close play safe. Yoshida down to second. And Rutschman has his first hit.
So the Red Sox, another team who have not been playing great ball lately. They've lost 4 in a row, scuffled a little bit. But Adley Rutschman making his debut
Made
in a Red
debut,
Sox jersey.
Little infield single
there.
Yeah,
that's it, man. Seeing Rutschman in a Red Sox jersey is going to be cool.
Hope it all works out.
Yeah, it gives me a reason. Like, I don't really have any rooting interest in the American League. I did chuckle at seeing that the Astros are again in first place in the AL West when I pulled up the standings.
That's because Yordan Alvarez is an alien.
He's carrying them, and the Mariners are just, oh my God.
And the Mariners and Rangers are giving it to him.
Oh my God, Seattle. Seattle, yeah, are you okay right now? It's okay. This is a safe space.
They might own one of our...
People who are ranting, you're ranting about your 72-win back-to-back World Series champion. Our bullpen's not good enough with the third best record in baseball.
That's why we win championships, because we rant about this stuff now before it gets to a point where...
You're the absolute worst. But I would be the same if I were
to choose. Games under 500.
The Mariners are 56-64. Oh, my God. What happened, Seattle?
They can't hit.
I go, well, yeah, you think? They haven't been able to hit in 20 years.
Well, at least Cal's not, you know, shirking responsibility.
Since Ken Griffey Jr. got traded to Cincinnati, the Mariners haven't been able to hit. It's been who they've been my entire life, other than the late 90s. That's rough. Astros in first place. I will be rooting, though. I think I'm a local root guy. Like, I want to see the local. Yeah. Whether you go to Oregon or Oregon State, I don't really care about that. Like, he's from here. Him going on the Red Sox making the playoffs.
football games visit Sherwood.
If he goes on a heater in the playoffs, that's going to be awesome, man. And he didn't have a chance in Baltimore.
I hope it works out.
I'm pulling for him, man. That was great to see him get his first hit. I meant to get to this in the first hour. We'll get to some college football stuff here in a second. Two other bits. These both made me laugh out loud. Michigan fans are losing their minds right now.
I know.
So they had this winning streak against Ohio State. They get to point at him and laugh. Ha, 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 ha. And then they had the sign-stealing stuff, and Jim Harbaugh bounces. And then their next coach, by God, ends up being one of the worst human beings it seems like we've had in college football in a while. And now you seemingly are like, all right, we got a stable leader in place. Everything's going to be great. Get a load of these. So I mentioned the Kyle Whittingham stuff from Big Ten Media Day. He was asked if he hates Ohio State. He said, no, I don't hate Ohio State. Strong word. And everybody's like, yeah, man, that's how this rivalry works. You got to hate him. He was then asked for a follow-up yesterday on his hatred of Ohio State.
Yeah, you commented on a little bit on Ohio State and the rivalry in Chicago. And those comments took on a life of their own.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
we have a better chance to win if I hated them. I mean, I don't understand. Whatever gives us the best chance to win them all for. Want to beat them worse than anybody, you know, around. And so I don't know how that got to be such a hot topic. Anyway, I cut you off. What was your question?
No problem. Do you, historically there have been like periods dedicated to beating Ohio State. I was wondering if you believe, if you had something like that for the Holy War, if you still believe in that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. There's periods where you know in practice segments or things in the weight room that you know that's talked about. We've got the countdown clocks. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay that at all. It's a huge game, gigantic, and it's something that we all have in the back of our mind 24/7. And so I don't know. Probably should have worded it differently, but that game is of the utmost importance.
Was that surprising to you, how the reaction from...
No, people, you know, it's not surprising, I guess. I guess I set myself up for it in a lot of ways. But just don't confuse that with the desire, you know, a lack of desire to win the game. I mean, we obviously understand that is the game, as we call it.
Yeah. Everything he's arguing is completely valid. Like, it's like him hating them more is not going to help them win the game.
No, it's just semantics. And you're talking about a guy who faith is a giant part.
Yes.
The word hate means something different
yes,
to him.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Than the average fan.
I also just love the thought of like him level-headed. I'm too old for this crap. Like,
exactly.
We're going to come be... You're going from the controversy being your head coach was stalking somebody in the facility,
yes,
and threatened to kill himself. Like that's what
threatened
that was.
To get himself over impregnating a staff member.
Where we came from to where we are now, we've made a lot of progress.
You don't hate our opponent enough,
and now we're yelling about Kyle Whittingham not hating Ohio State enough. It makes sense. I just love the like. I'm too old for this, man. What are we doing? Go win games, but mark my words. I actually thought I didn't get to talk about the Hall of Fame game. I almost wanted to save my notes from the Hall of Fame game because that game was fantastic.
For a Hall of Fame game, you couldn't ask. Now,
it was phenomenal,
yeah.
Right?
Now the first quarter, I was a little concerned.
I went and ran
errands, and then I came back.
Haynes King's out here dealing. All right, let's go.
Yeah, Bryce Young needs to watch out.
One of the other things that was a takeaway was I thought Tomlin was really good in his TV debut. I think that's going to be a good addition.
He was great,
and he pointed out on the Vrabel receiving thing for the Pats. This is a story if you don't have a good year. Like, if you come out and go 6-0, the Rossini thing is dead in the water. The
right.
Pats are, here we go, smooth
sailing.
They
come out, go 2-4.
You start 2-4, everybody is at, like, that's the only thing we're going to focus on, and that is 100% valid here. If you come out and you go 10-2 this year, and you're competitive against Ohio State.
Or you come out and Bryce Underwood can't throw it from you to me.
Yeah, this guy's not right. He doesn't get it. He's not in our culture. He doesn't hate Ohio State.
All right.
I'm not going to play the Underwood thing. We can save that for later. But
well,
he had a quote.
We carry the cafe over.
We can carry it over a little bit. I want to get into some college football stuff as well. The cafe went a little long today, but that's how it goes when you start ranting. But we got some more audio to get to, some more college football stuff to get to, and some NFL notes around the corner on 105.1 FM The Fan.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
All right, welcome back in. 7:30. Happy Wednesday morning, everybody. Did you guys talk about, while I was out, the new Purdue athletic director?
Yeah, we had some fun
with that. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we got that. It's always when you get back from vacation, like, you just you notice things while you're gone. Like, you unplug as much as you can, but you can't miss everything. And that one I could not miss. Did you see the follow-up from somebody asked Signetti about it?
Oh, yeah. He's
like, whatever. Which is also funny, because when Signetti did it, we all laughed at him, and he ended up, you know, winning a championship. But taking the shot at Indiana, who checks notes,
well,
just won a championship.
Well, that's your athletic director. It's one thing for a coach to come
get
in.
Get you fired up. That doesn't get
but
you going to Grady.
But that's your athletic director.
It's also so dumb when they just won the championship.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Yeah.
If you want to come in and say we're going to beat the crap out of Indiana, okay, I'm not going to buy it, but sure, why not? You know, get everybody excited, sell some tickets and some merchandise. What are we doing here, people?
I don't know.
On the Michigan front, I'm not going to play the whole thing because we're already against it. I want to get to some other stuff. But John Fanta was doing these NBC Sports interviews. He is a very interesting character. His interviews are very...
He is a character.
Very unique. He's more of a college basketball guy is kind of how I think of him, but he works for NBC, and so he sat down...
He has a true carry quality to him.
He absolutely does, yeah. And he sat down at Big Ten Media Day with everybody. I watched his Lanning one. Yes. You just got to know Lanning. Like, one of the questions you asked him, what's your favorite play, Dan? And he's like, the one we score touchdowns on?
Yeah, the touchdown play.
This is going well. But he asked Bryce Underwood. He had a back and forth with Underwood about the Ohio State game. He said, what do you remember? He said, oh, I remember losing. And he said, what sets that game apart? What is the difference between playing Ohio State and anybody else? And his answer at the end of the interview was, well, it's just a team with a different color. You know, it's like, dude, you can't.
No.
You can't do that.
That's worse than
you
what Whittingham's doing.
Absolutely it is. As a player.
That's worse.
As a player. Come on, man.
Because you live in a bubble, you should hate the crimson and gray.
Yes, that should be your daily motto.
Like, you see that, it pops up, and that's the first thing when you wake up, you should puke.
Yes, that's exactly how you should feel.
My head coach needs to be a little bit more level-headed.
A little more balanced out. Let's head on down to Eugene and Corvallis, shall we? We'll do that over
there
the next
go.
30 minutes or so. Jump on the bus with us, and let's head down. Old I-5 all aboard, and let's check in on camp. I got a Shepherd quote here we'll play in a moment from Corvallis that a lot of people are reacting to.
Yeah.
Did you guys get to that, by the way, on the show?
We played a similar quote. Oregon State had media days.
Oh, they did.
Over the weekend, which sounded like we're just making guys available and calling it media
days. If you want to come talk to them, you can, kind of thing.
So people will stop asking why we're not having a media day.
Okay, well, at least they did something.
So they made players and coaches, and we heard from the coordinators and all of that stuff. And yes, Marcus, or Jamarcus, said something similar to what you pulled.
So we'll get to that here in a moment. Let's go to Eugene, where we have eyeballs on the offensive line. What is the offensive line going to look like? You're only returning two starters, new faces, young guys. You didn't get aggressive in the portal going after guys. They have done a good job in fall camp. They're making a couple of players and a coach or two available almost every day after camp. And it was great to hear the Merringer stuff the other day was really good. I'd listened to that while I was on vacation. The Chris Hampton stuff was really good. Both those guys look, you know, time will tell how those hires end up aging. We will not know until, I mean, to be honest with you, probably until the USC game at the end of September, right? Like, you're just not.
That's the one everybody's got circled.
You should, from a talent perspective, be able to get through Boise and
they're
going to
watch Oklahoma State. Some people are saying they could surprise in the Big 12.
They're becoming one of those dark horse playoff
teams. You
need
to be prepared when you go out there and not sleepwalk and do that. But
based on where you're at, that should be a game where you just, as the game goes on, we're bigger,
stronger,
faster. You don't
have significant injuries. Yeah. Everybody is focused and handling their details. They should be 3-0 going to the Coliseum at the end of September.
And then we'll find out what you got, right? And I always enjoy when Alik Terry comes up. He's their offensive line coach. He's done a fantastic job. And here he is on the idea of maybe some of their young guys playing right away.
No doubt. I think Poncho is a perfect example of that. You know, Poncho, when he first got here, he rotated with Steven Jones. And then later on that year with Marcus Harper. And both of those guys had successful careers. And speaking to Manny and Tommy, they've come out hitting the ground running. And they're both, like I said earlier in spring, they're both physically gifted. Manny's obviously behind a little bit just because he didn't get here till later. But you can see the physical specimen they are. They love the game. They're constantly with each other. They're constantly trying to get more, constantly getting with Coach Walk and the law firm and making sure they get some extra meetings and getting that kind of stuff in now because they know their role could end up being much larger later on down the year. As much as they put in, it could happen maybe earlier in the year. Who knows? But they've done a tremendous job with the amount we've thrown at them on purpose, and they've done a good job absorbing it, taking it on, asking the whole law firm for questions, and not being afraid to ask questions. I think young guys tend to be afraid to ask questions at times. They're not in that stage right now.
So they're starting to come out with their fall camp content. They had one on meeting the offensive line. They're doing that version of it where you get snippets of practice and then kind of doing a position group by position group. Let's meet the team and the players, right? And you got these two young guys who came in this recruiting class. Tommy Tofi, they've been writing about. He showed up in spring, and the takeaway in spring was like, okay, this guy's good. He's going to play right away. Now, what does that role look like? Time will tell on that. Big Manny came in summer, as Alik Terry pointed out, so he's a little bit further behind. But you got these young guys that are starting to showcase what they can do. And it's just, to me, on the field, the coordinator thing will be the biggest question overarching of the entire season. Did they make the right hires? Are those guys upgrades? Are they the same? Are they downgrades? And again, only time will tell on that question. On the field, to me, we can certainly circle linebacker and say, all right, you know, you lose Betcher, and what's that position going to look like? You got some good athletic guys there, but what's the depth look like, and how's it going to play out throughout the course of the season? There's no doubt in my mind the biggest question mark, and that doesn't mean it's a guarantee it's going to be good or bad. It's just like, what is this going to look like is going to be the offensive line. And Oregon's offensive line has been very unique the last couple of years because on the one hand, we've done this a lot going into seasons asking, what is the offensive line going to look like? And they've ended up being a Joe Moore Award finalist for three straight years now as the best offensive line group in college football. Some would have argued at the end of last season that they probably should have won it considering Iowa won it. And I thought Oregon's offensive line in that game in particular was better than Iowa's was. When they played each other head-to-head, they beat Iowa and Iowa style of football. And so you have this weird mix of, like, they've been so good and overcome stuff in the regular season, and then you fast forward to the playoffs, and this is, it's a microcosm of the entire team. They have really struggled in the last two final games of the year. The Ohio State game, they could not run the football. Gabriel got swarmed under the pocket, like they had no time to throw, and it was a disaster for an offensive line group that had been really good all year against that same Ohio State front a few months earlier. And then last year, again, there were extenuating circumstances there, but again, they did not play great. Some of that was on Dante holding on to the ball too long, the De'Aaron Hill fumble on the 5-yard line and the pick six. Like, not all of it was on them, but they didn't play great in their biggest moment. And so what is that group going to look like, and how do they grow throughout the year, and what is the combination that ends up being the right answer is such a big question for them going into the season in an area where they've been really good for large stretches of the year, and now they need to figure out, how do we get really good when it matters the most? Because Oregon has all this hype and expectation and people picking them to win the national championship, and they're one of those teams that's certainly atop the list. If that group is a B-minus group, I have a hard time seeing it happening. They need to be, you don't have to be the best offensive line in the country, but you cannot be a weakness. And that's where I look on the other side of the ball at linebacker. They can have an issue or two at linebacker or maybe not be perfect, but I think they have enough around it to, the defensive line is going to be so good.
If the defensive line cuts down your time to 2.5 or fewer seconds
for the
opposing quarterback,
right? Yes.
And you've got a blanket for one of your cornerbacks,
right?
And your safeties can read things. Yeah,
your
linebackers
easier.
Just need to be in the right spot.
Just don't be terrible and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like, you can be a B-minus group at linebacker and win the national championship because you're good enough around them.
All you have to do is
offensive line, you just can't do
be
that.
In the right spot, and when the ball comes to your area, tackle the guy.
Yes, and if you could do that, then
if you can do those two things,
you'll be okay.
Then you don't have to be special.
So I know that they're very confident, they're very optimistic internally about what that group is going to look like, and they're gonna interchange guys early in the season, right? This goes back to the Portland State point, right? Like, you get them in week three. That's I believe the last game before USC.
Yes.
And so that's like, you know, let's work on different kinds. Like, you're going to go through that in the first couple of weeks of the season. You'll have some time to kind of iron out exactly what that will look like. But it was great to hear from Alik Terry. He's done such a good job. It's just the question of, can they go from being that good regular season group who can kind of hold it together, and they ended up having a really good year last year despite the questions coming into the season. And then they weren't great when they needed them to be great. And that is a collective effort, no doubt about it. But we'll see if Oregon's offensive line can get there this year. I got a little bit more Oregon stuff to play on the other side. Also, Jamarcus Shepherd with a plea to the fan base, which I know a lot of people are reacting to. So we'll talk about it. We'll play it a little bit more on the fall camp check-in with Oregon and Oregon State. That's next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Ro. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Ro, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to ro.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to ro.co/safety.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
All right, camp coverage on The Fam, presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. We will get to, don't forget, there is no Sprague. I was on vacation. We didn't have a live show yesterday, so we're making it up as we go. We will do a mail sack today. I just got a great mail sack question in, so get yours in, 503-864-6326. We'll do that coming up at about 8:30 and have some fun with that. And then Wright Gazaway will be in studio with us at 9 o'clock with an update on everything we need to know on the Portland City Council voting for the funding that is at 9 a.m. This morning. So if you're curious on that, we will talk about it. We'll get to it, a lot of it, in the final hour. And Wright will help us kind of get through everything that's transpired in the last week or two and what we need to look for today and where the two sides are at. So that is all coming up here as we're about the halfway point of the show. Sticking in camp, it's funny that I'm watching the Big Ten Network. They were down in Eugene yesterday. Kenyon Barner was down there. They're doing this coverage. They're just talking about wide receivers, and it's perfect synergy because I want to do that as well. We didn't play this out of media day. It kind of went under the radar. Evan Stewart has been the guy that has stolen a lot of the attention and headlines early in press conferences and interviews because Dan Lanning has mentioned how good of an offseason he's had. And him calling out an individual player is very rare for him. It does not happen very often. So that's why a lot of people's ears perked up when he kept saying Evan Stewart. Like, oh, okay. Well, if he never does this and he's doing it for Stewart, that must mean he must be looking really good in camp and had a really good offseason. Oregon signed the number one wide receiver out of high school 2 years ago, DeCoria Moore. He was a freshman. He had some burst moments in his first year, some awesome highlights, looked like he was going to take off, and then an injury kind of derailed his season, and it didn't end up being the same. Here's what DeCoria Moore said at Media Day.
General, what did you feel like you needed to improve upon at the end of last season, and do you feel like with spring ball and summer workouts and now heading to fall camp, do you feel like you're on path to be a better wide receiver obviously heading into the second season?
So the most, you'll probably hear it a lot, but the best ability is availability. And I wasn't very available last year towards the middle of the season. Of course, I got hurt, and I was out for a couple of games. So the one thing, like I said, I took away from last year was just staying in the treatment room a lot because it came back to bite me last year. So just trying to make sure I stay good on my health and stuff like that. I don't think I'm going to be probably one of the best receivers in the nation next year.
What makes you think that?
Just knowing what I trained for.
What did you train for?
To be the best. Yeah, to be the best. I train like that and I put it in my mind. So I'm really praying that that's the outcome that I get.
What's training to be the best look like?
When you train, it's certain people, you know, you'll see certain training that they'll be able to breathe and talk, you know, while they training it. If you training, you shouldn't be able to breathe and talk. So that's what I push myself for.
I mean, talk about lofty expectations, right? You want to be the best wide receiver in the sport. I love the thought process. That's definitely a headline that I know it kind of made the rounds on the social media, college football platforms when a wide receiver says something like that. But it was unique for me because I wanted to talk about them at wide receiver. Here is Lanning yesterday on DeCoria Moore going into year two.
Yeah, just mastery of the offense, right? Just as far as knowing what route I'm running, how I'm running it, what that looks like. I think his push is a little bit higher, like the level of intensity he's able to bring drill to drill. I think is able to, has been able to step up. So and excited to continue to see what things he's able to do in the future. Obviously, he's a dynamic player. You know, we knew that last year, but consistent play, right, comes with knowing the ins and outs of the offense, being able to make checks to the line and that stuff showing up for him.
And it's interesting to talk about him because he got off to such a great start last year. There was that moment that was the Oklahoma State game. He had the long touchdown early in the game. The Penn State game, I remember having some big catches in the Penn State game, and you're like, all right, 7 catches, 89 yards against Penn State. The Oklahoma State game, he had the 69 yards, a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. And then then the injury happened, and it kind of, they had the Wisconsin game where they couldn't really throw the football, and they didn't really play, you know, miss a chunk of the season in there. And so when I look at Oregon this year and think about them reaching the level of expectation that everybody has on them for the year, wide receiver is not necessarily a question mark in terms of talent. This is the best wide receiver room Oregon has ever had, and I don't even think that's up for debate. They're four guys collectively, and then that's not even counting all the other young guys that they might get impact years from. It's the best core group of wide receivers that has ever existed in Eugene, Oregon. I think the question that I do have about them, though, is that do they have one or two guys, the two that we're talking about the most, in Evan Stewart and DeCoria Moore, who become bona fide number one type wide receivers, who are in conversations at the end of the year, not both of them, or at least one of them, to be like, hey, are you a Biletnikoff finalist? Are you a guy who is viewed as a first-team All-American? When I look at Ohio State, I know who they have on the outside. When I look at Miami and having a chance to win, I know what Tony is capable of, and he is one of the best wide receivers in the sport. Texas has gotten aggressive going out and getting these guys. They're certainly raving about the way Stewart looks. DeCoria Moore showed flashes of it before getting hurt last year. What does that growth look like, and how good can they be? The floor of Oregon's wide receiver room is higher than it's ever been. The question that remains is, what is the ceiling? Do they all come out and just kind of meet expectations and have good years but not truly elite years? Do they spread the ball around so much that the numbers don't quite pile up with one player that the way they would at another program? Or do they get one or two guys who truly come out and can dominate and take over a football game? Like, Oregon's never really had wide receivers like that, and they have a chance to have that this year. And so I was interested to hear what Lanning had to say about DeCoria Moore. He talked about him yesterday because he says he's training to be one of the best wide receivers in the entire sport. As a fan, I love the mentality. People can make fun of it all they want. He had 497 yards, I think, on the season last year, but he was the number one wide receiver coming out of high school, and so that's been his mindset the entire time. And hopefully he's in for a very good year this year. Let's go north up I-5 and head to Corvallis. This came from Tyree Smith of Coyne. He went down there and did a sit-down interview. Swag, you mentioned that some of this similar sentiment was said
we had a similar one at the formal media day where he addressed everybody and was talking about, you know, the different aspects of evaluating the program in the first year. And
yeah, just,
this was point number three.
And so this created some fan reaction online, and I'll play it. I'm kind of curious why that would be. But here is Jamarcus Shepherd, new Oregon State head coach, talking to Tyree Smith of Coin about what they're going to need from their fans this year.
I need our fans to get behind this football team. I'm letting you know, just so you know. Guys, there's going to be some adversity this year. I'm letting you know. Now I need you guys to help us get through that adversity. We got to do it together. And that, to me, is what I've seen from Oregon State University. That's what I've seen from Corvallis, okay? And I'm looking forward to them stepping up to the plate again. I saw it last year. These guys didn't have that great of a season last year. And the fans still showed up. And so I want to thank you in advance.
And this has led to fans that maybe when you guys talked about it on Monday, it had the same reaction from people of like, what is he saying? We're going to suck. Is this a red flag? Is this, to me, it's just him being incredibly honest.
It's a long-term process.
Yes.
Have you looked at our schedule?
You play two ranked teams right out of the gate. Like, you could easily get dominated in your first two games, and it doesn't mean that's the end of your year.
I had a slightly different view.
Oh, okay.
And maybe it's a minority opinion. Okay. I wondered if this wasn't a directive to the administration and, hey, let's make it very easy for our fans to come fill this place up. Let's quit trying to extract every nickel out of every seat.
You should give away tickets to kids under 10 for free. If I were Oregon State, I would do whatever it takes.
Yeah. You know, if you get to a point where, okay, we have season ticket holders and we have all this sort of stuff, but the upper reaches in the corners, some of those seats were in previous years for, you're still trying to get, you know, $95 out of them. And it's like,
no, UTEP's coming to town. No, thank you. I'm not paying for that.
No. Make them, you know, figure out what is reasonable and do that as well as, hey, let's up it's been noted, the game experience, you know, lack of replays, lack of this, lack of that, lack of that.
There's a lot that they could do.
Let's make the game day experience fantastic and give everybody reasons to come join us and get in on the ground floor. I think he's going to be much more accessible as a head coach.
Without a doubt.
To the fan base.
Delivering the message will be a lot easier with him than it was with Trent Bray. Doesn't mean he'll be a better coach, but the messaging will be much better.
But if they win, then, you know, if they win four games, you look at the schedule and you look at the overhaul and what he's had to do from the ground floor. I told Sprague, I go, no, they're just pouring cement this season.
Yes, let's see where we're at.
All they're doing.
See where we're at. And if it ends up being a better year than we imagine, then that's great. That's a cherry on top. But it doesn't have to be that way. Like, I look at them this year. We talked about expectations. Like, somebody asked a mail sack question a couple of weeks ago. How would you feel as an Oregon State fan coming into the year? And this is setting aside everything else that's happened over the last couple of seasons in terms of conference realignment, right? Like, it's two different conversations that connect, obviously. But if I'm just focusing on this year's football team as a fan, I just want to see competence. I don't know what the win-loss number in my head would be.
And they have a brutal start to the schedule.
And that was like, when I saw this quote, that to me reeked of, Houston, I believe, showed up in the preseason coaches poll. Coaches polls, preseason polls don't matter that much.
They won 10 games last year. We've had some people saying that they don't watch out. If the Big 12 sleeps on them, look out. They
Houston could
spoil
win it.
The party.
They could be a playoff team this year. You got to go on the road and play Houston in your first game. You're a 20-point underdog in that game. Then you come home and play Texas Tech, who's got one of the most expensive rosters in the sport.
Yes, and they're going to be all cranky and butthurt.
Yes, like Joey McGuire's going on this rant of like, we're the villain of college football, which I would do the same if I were them. Why not lean into it at this point? We can all hate them as much as we want, but I get what they're doing internally. So they're going to be us against the world. Like, you could get smoked in your first two games because you have a new head coach who doesn't really know what he's doing. It's going to take him a while to figure it out. All these new pieces on your roster. And to me, that was a message of like, look, after that, guys, it gets manageable. There's no other game on their schedule other than, and maybe they pull a shocker
maybe
in the
Boise
first two
State.
Weeks. But maybe Boise at the end of the year, because it definitely on the road will be tough. Outside of that, every other game is a competitive game for you. Now, how many do they win? I don't know. Can you execute a long snap this year? Can we punt? Can we kick a field goal? Like, those are the things that I look for in terms of competency in order to make me feel better about the direction that you're going. But I didn't have any issue. I'm also not a fan. So, if you did, I'm curious why that was. 503-864-6326. to me, it was just like, hey, guys, we got two tough games. Let's get through those. Try and settle in after that and see where we go from there. And as long as they look competent and can do the little things well, I think I would feel okay at least about the coaching situation as a fan. We'll have some more football stuff to get to later on in the show, in college, that is. We'll go next hour, though, to the NFL. We got a new starting quarterback. One guy was benched. Injury news from one team, an update from Hard Knocks. All of that coming in the next hour, and then Wright Gazaway at 9 o'clock. Back after this on 105.1 FM The Fan.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.